Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is hired and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep."
Thank you. That was John 10, 1, 15. Lord, may the words I speak be of you. May we meet with you this morning. Amen. Amen. At the basis of being Baptist is that each church discerns the will of God. Sounds very fancy, doesn't it? Basically means, as a church, we have to pray and listen for what God has for our church. And I've been thinking about this because somebody commented to me that we do very little listening and that maybe we need to do a bit more. And that's been playing on my mind. And God won't let it go. Because what are we listening for? What is it we're listening for? When Fran just said, "Let's have a time of quiet to listen to God," what did she mean? You're all looking at me with blank faces, which is rather concerning, but also tells me that I'm preaching on the right thing this morning. Listen to his voice. Do you know what God's voice sounds like? Can we play the first clip? Right, we're going to play things, and I want you to tell me who it is. So shout out, and it'll stay playing until you recognise it. If it works.
If in individual life, we
Nelson Mandela.
Reach that part of the law.
Okay, next one. You got that one very quickly.
John plays the church organ. This evening.
Terry Wogan. Next one.
I don't know who you are.
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
I don't know what you want.
Why do you know who those voices are? Several? Because you hear them a lot. You're familiar with them.
They're famous voices that we hear a lot.
Yes, you hear a lot. But do you know how often I have the conversation with people who say, "You tell me to pray and listen to God and I've got no clue what he sounds like." Have you? I mean, I know I've thought that. When I first became a Christian and I was told to pray and listen for the voice of God, wow. My instant reaction at my young age at that point was, "Don't they lock you up for that?" We live in a world that is full of noise. We live in a world that goes 100 miles an hour. You know that in order to hear God, you need to stop and be quiet. don't you? But do you know what you're listening for? Do you know what God's voice sounds like? Because if you're in the middle of a storm of life that we were singing about earlier, how are you going to hear that small voice saying peace over you if you don't know what his voice is? Now, we're going to do a series on spiritual gifts. And I was going to start this Sunday. And then God told me no, because in order to do the next bit, you need to know how to listen. I spent my entire life being told to keep quiet because I talk a lot. It's who God made me to be, I now know. Not, didn't know that quite so much when everyone kept telling me to shut up. But we have one mouth and two ears. God wanted us to listen twice as much as we spoke. And I'm still learning that one. And there are times where I have to make myself stop talking in order to listen. I'm better than I was. Mark will attest to that. But only just. I'm a work in progress, just like the rest of you. But do you know the voice of God? Do you know what it sounds like? Have any of you here audibly heard God? Yes. That's a privilege. To have audibly heard God, I have done it once in my lifetime, and it scared me witless. Don't know about anybody else. Most of the time, God talks to me here, which is actually the ancient place for your heart, because the ancient idea was your heart was in your stomach. So God kind of just churns my stomach a bit. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? It gets my attention. But I only know that through years and years of practice to know what it is God, how God talks to me. And he probably has to do it in my stomach because I talk so much. I don't listen enough. But actually, I discover that I hear God in the strangest places. So this morning, I was packing my bag and walked out into the lounge and said to Mark, I've been given my preach for a preach that I've been asked to do. And Mark went, okay, anywhere that came from particularly? Like, no, God's just told me while I was packing my bag. I wasn't expecting God to talk to me then. And it wasn't an audible voice, but inside of me, I have learned when God talks to me. What it's like, what it feels like. Now, some of you might be sitting there going, this lady has completely lost her mind. Which is fine, I'm up for that one. But what we're talking about is listening to our heavenly dad. God knows everything. We've just said his knowledge is higher. That's because God knows everything already. There's no surprises. Try and wrap your head around that one and let me know how you manage it, because my brain's still blown on that. Means he knows best for us, but we need to listen. So when I was first a Christian, I didn't get this, so I'd sit quietly and all I'd get was my shopping list, what I needed to do later, what I hadn't done, what I'd missed. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not God. Now, each of us are uniquely made, and each of us will hear God in different ways. So the way I hear God won't necessarily be the same as how you hear God. But unless you try, and unless you spend time, you're not going to recognise his voice. because we need to spend time the same way as you knew who Nelson Mandela, Terry Wogan and Liam Neeson was. You've had time with them. The plan had been to record my mother-in-law and then you wouldn't have known who it was. I know who it was. Mark would have known who it was. The kids might have known who she is. But then there are other times, aren't there, where we can be mistaken to who we hear. So quite often, when I was younger, I'd be at home and answer the phone and the person would start talking to me like I was my mum. And it'd be like, no, it's Naomi, you'll want my mum. Hang on a sec. You can have great fun for it, though, when boyfriends phoned up, I can tell you. But we don't, unless we spend time, we don't know. Who are we hearing? Are we hearing ourselves? Is it that voice in our head that's there all the time, constantly knocking us down? Because that's not how God works. So there are ways of us testing what we're hearing. We can go to scripture. Is what we're hearing God say scriptural? Does it match with scripture? But also, it's trial and error. Because guess what? You're allowed to make mistakes. God doesn't mind. Because if you're trying to get closer to him and know him more and learn his voice, it's fine to make mistakes. So, I've got another bit of homework for you to try this week.
Because we're all human, we make mistakes.
We are all human, Arthur, that's absolutely true. And we all make mistakes.
I'd write a song about that.
Yeah? You should. So, this is a safe way of testing this out. What I want you to do is I want you to find a scriptural verse. Okay? I don't mind what it is, as long as it is positive. Okay? I don't want any of the go out and hang yourself and do it now. So there are negative verses that can be taken negatively. I'd like you to find a positive scriptural verse. Okay? Might be your favourite verse, it might be one that you've read that day, but I'd like you to write it in a card. It doesn't have to be a fancy one, it could even be a piece of paper folded in half with a pattern on the front. I don't really mind. But what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to have that with you. I'd like you to pray about it, and I'd like you to ask God to tell you who it's for. And while you're going about your life, be open and listen. And if your immediate reaction is, no, God, you've got to be kidding me. You really want me to give that to that person? Tends to be an indication you're on the right track. Because God will push you outside your comfort zone. Give it a go. If you wish to explain to the person what you're doing, that's fine. Because you can often gauge whether you've got it right by the reaction you get. Now, you may get this wrong, and that's okay, because you give them a positive scriptural verse which will bless them whether or not it has special significance or not. So you're not doing any harm. Okay? But give it a go. You might be surprised. I had a friend of mine who was working on this, hearing the voice of God. She decided she was going to devote a couple of months to specifically focusing on listening for God and doing as she was asked, because she wanted to see what happened. So every morning she'd sit, have her morning coffee. She had a big kitchen table because she lived in community with a friend and her sister and their family. She'd sit there before everyone got up. She would sit there praying and going, okay, God, what is it you'd like me to do today? What? Give me one thing you'd like me to do today. And early on in this experiment, She was told to say good morning to the lollipop lady. So she started saying good morning to the lollipop lady. And then she forgot about it. She got given other things. But she kept saying good morning to the lollipop lady. Started talking to the lollipop lady. But any of you who've had children and gone past a lollipop lady, you don't see them for very long. One day, she sat at her kitchen table and she feels like God's saying to her, I'd like you to invite the lollipop lady for lunch. And she's like, I beg your pardon? I'd like you to ask the lollipop lady for lunch. Now, she'd been doing this for a few weeks or so by this point. And this was the most radical thing God had asked her to do. Because she was like, the lollipop lady is going to think I've lost my marbles if I invite her for lunch out of the blue. But it wouldn't go away. She just had this feeling that she absolutely had to invite the lollipop lady for lunch. So she's taking the children to school. She says good morning to the lollipop lady and keeps walking. Takes the kids to school, and this feeling inside of her will not go away. Because God's like, I told you to invite the lollipop lady. And she's like, but I don't want to invite the lollipop lady. And this feeling just would not leave her. So on the way back, she was like, okay, I'll be obedient. I'll invite the lollipop lady for lunch. Which she did, at which point the lollipop lady promptly burst into tears. And my friend is like, see, I told you I shouldn't have invited the lollipop lady for lunch. Look what I've done. But when she calmed down, it turned out that it was the lollipop lady's birthday. And it was going to be the very first birthday after losing her husband. And it was going to be the very first birthday she'd ever had to spend on her own. When we don't listen, and when we miss the voice of God, we can miss the most amazing blessing, either for us or for others. It's so important. It's so key to who we are as Christians. And it's very key to who we are as Baptists, funnily enough. That we are supposed to spend time learning our Father in Heaven's voice. Do you think you could do that?
Yes.
You manage that?
Yes. Yep.
And next week, I'm actually going to ask you how it went. So I'd like some of you to share. You don't have to, but it would be good to share. Because if you read scripture, which is probably, I hope you do, when you open your Bible and you read Jesus' ministry, as our Bible reading said this morning, he often spoke to the Pharisees about this, because the Pharisees were seen as the religious leaders, teachers of the time. These were the people you were supposed to listen to. These were the people who could tell you how to live your life with God. But he didn't have a very good view of them, did he? Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs over another way is a thief and a robber. There is one way. God was laying out a new covenant, and there was a new way. Under Jewish law, you weren't allowed to be in the presence of God unless you were a priest. But Jesus was coming to allow us to have direct access, to have direct relationship, so that we could hear God's voice for ourselves. And actually, Jesus kept pointing out to the Pharisees, you've started living under law and you've forgotten my voice. You don't know my voice anymore. This isn't an exercise you do one day and then forget about. This is an exercise you keep using. Because we don't want to be a church that is a religious organisation and institution. We want to be the living family of God. And the only way we do that is to hear him. Is to listen and know what God is asking of us. And sometimes there will be times where really God, no, I don't want to do that, thanks very much. I don't really want to invite the lollipop lady for lunch. But we are his children, and he asks of us. Therefore, we need to know his voice. Jesus kept correcting those who believed they knew him, but weren't listening. They knew what they expected the Messiah to look like. There had been prophecy upon prophecy upon prophecy who this Messiah was going to be. But they had taken their humanness and made a picture. And guess what? Jesus didn't fit. You can't be the Son of God. You can't be the Messiah because you let your disciples pick grain. You heal on the Sabbath. You have the audacity to forgive people of their sin. Who are you to do that? Well, actually, if you've been listening for the past 2 years, you know. If they knew the voice of God, they would know. We miss out. That last song, I don't want to miss a word. The words that God gives us are precious. We don't want to miss them. So we need to be listening. Jesus was constantly talking about the fact that the sheep would recognize his voice, but not the voice of a stranger. We should be able to tell the difference. But that only comes through practice. Now, does that sound strange? That I'm asking you to practice something? We tend to believe it should come instantly. And for some of you, it might. But some of us have to work a little harder. I find I can hear God quite often when I'm not expecting it. And I find if I work too hard at it, I miss it. The minister of the church I became a Christian at was constantly saying to me, Naomi, trust God, you're missing him because you think it's you and you're trying too hard. God wants to communicate with us. God wants to be close to his children. And speaks all the time. But are we listening? Who here goes through their day praying? A few of you. My mum does it when she's ironing. Very strange.
And practice, as we know, makes perfect.
Practice makes perfect. We all do it differently. Mine used to be doing the washing up. Then we've got a dishwasher. But do you listen? Do you go through your day asking God, but never stopping to listen to the answer? Are you going, God, what do you want me to do today? Do you want me to do this? And could you bless so-and-so? And we really, this person really needs healing and we really like your hand on them. And could you correct the whole mess that's in the Ukraine? And could you help Russia? And could you help Pakistan? Could you help? Could you help? Could you do this? And I'd like you to do that. And I'd like for you to do the other. And God's sitting there going, well, if you let me get a word in edgeways... Another way a friend did it was she put an alarm on her phone. But it went off every quarter of an hour. And every quarter of an hour, she'd stop. It just gave her that reminder, stop.
listen. Because surely I'm not the only one that does that, am I? You all need to come and pray for me later, obviously. We just need to stop. And we're in a world that doesn't do that, aren't we? It gets faster. We're bombarded by our phone going off, by the television being on, the radio. You can't even go in a shop now without there being music and overhead and TVs doing adverts, and you can't even drive down the road. Have you seen the number of signposts now? And you're like, which one do you want me to see? Our whole lives are bombarded. But as children of God, we're called to stop and listen. Jesus talked about this so often. You have not listened. Do you know who I am? And interestingly, it's often the people we least expect. But we need to stop and listen. It doesn't mean if it's against your personality, which mine is, by the way. I'm learning slowly, but my personality is not conducive to sitting and having a quiet time. Who's heard that expression? You become a Christian, read your Bible, and have a quiet time. I tell you, I worked for years trying to get a quiet time. I got lots of housework done, but I didn't actually hear God. And I remember one particular time I was sat at our dining room table when we lived in Birmingham, and I'm there going, God, I am not going to move from here until you show me how to do this. And do you know what I heard? Stop trying to do it like someone else. And I was like, that can't be right, surely. No, 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 no. God, I'm not going to move till you show me. Stop trying to be someone else. And it was like, is that because I don't want to sit here anymore? God, show me. I'm not going to move until you... Stop trying to do this like someone else. So I got up. I was doing something. I can't even remember what it was. But then God started telling me not to try and have a relationship with him like he had a relationship with someone else. Your relationship with God is personal. It's who you are. I can have a quiet time now, mainly because I gave up trying. But I wanted to hear God. I didn't understand how I could be a Christian and not. Because you keep hearing it. I kept hearing it from the front. Listen to God, you know, God says, and I'm thinking, I haven't heard. But I wanted to. There was a hunger in me to hear the voice of God. And it came from who I am. And what was interesting is within the church, there was one particular gentleman who used to tell me, I had to have a quiet time. Constantly telling them. Became a good friend of ours, but I could have throttled him sometimes. He kept saying to me, how are you getting on with getting a quiet time, Naomi? Really badly. No, it's really important. As a Christian, you have a quiet time. Okay, I'll try. And not long after me sitting at the table and God telling me not to be someone else, where I gave up, because I was like, actually, God is telling me to be me, and this isn't how I do it. I go through my day chatting to God and listening to God while I'm doing other things. That's just my personality. So I stopped. And do you know what? My relationship with God got so much better. And then our friend turned up one morning in a real fluster at our house. He was due to go out with Mark for something, and he was so flustered. And I'm like, what's wrong? And he's like,
Oh, I got up late and I haven't had my quiet time and I'm all a fluster and I can't cook. And I'm like, right, there's the lounge. I'm going to shut the door. Have your quiet time. Mark will be down in a bit. Have your time with God. I went back into the kitchen, was doing the washing up, and he walked in about 10, 15 minutes later. And he said to me, I really envy you. And I was like, sorry? You seem to hear God in such a relational way. And I said, but for years you've been telling me I should be having a quiet time. And he's like, yeah, but probably because I envied how easy it was. And I'm like, it's not. It's just different. And I was shocked. I'd been trying to fit to what this guy had been telling me for years, and it turned out, actually, he wanted to learn from me. Be who you are, because funnily enough, God already knows. Okay? God knows what you're like. God knows your personality. God wants you to hear him. Therefore, all you've got to do is find out what his voice is like. And if you do it when you're not stressed or overworked or having a drama, it means that when you are in times of in the storm and the waves are crashing, the wind is howling, you can hear that small voice of peace. Because you know it. You already know what it sounds like. You can hear it and recognize it straight away because you've spent so much time listening already. And it's key. It's key to the rest of what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. Because if you want spiritual gifts, you need to listen. You need to hear God. You need to recognize his voice. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we are each individual and we are uniquely and wonderfully made. Thank you that you call us into relationship with you. And that's a real relationship, Lord, backwards and forwards. But teach us to listen. Teach us to listen to your voice and to know it. That we may recognize it, however quiet it is in the storm, we recognize your voice. As we pour our hearts out to you, Lord, speak to us, we pray. Lord, in a world that is full of noise and busyness, break through that we may recognize your voice. Show us, Lord, if anything is getting in our way from hearing you.
Jesus, you promised us, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. So we call to you in the silence, Lord. Let me hear. Do not let us be as the fool, Lord, but the wise who listen to you. For you said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Lord, we pray that you would build your church on this rock. May we be a family who listens for your voice in everything we do. May we be a people who listen for your voice in every working day. Lord, may we know you more. Help us to listen. Help us to hear. And help us to do all that you ask of us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to have one last song of worship. And if anyone would like me to pray for them, to hear God's voice more, then please come and see me at the end, because I would love to. May God bless you with the sound of his voice. May God draw you close to him in a deeper relationship every day. May you recognize his voice on a daily basis. And may he guide your steps as you go out into the world. Amen.
Amen.
There is coffee and biscuits. There's tea too.